Thanks very much for joining us again for another Tech Law 10 podcast. We take up 10 minutes of your time and talk about current technology and legal issues. And Eric, you've been at some roundtable in the US this week, which has raised a couple of interesting issues around social media for lawyers.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. Yes, this is Eric Sinrod for Duane Morris in the San Francisco office. Yes, last week the Recorder Legal newspaper out here put on a roundtable, and I was joined by a judge, one of the Recorder people, and a couple other attorneys, and we spoke about, you know, social media and how that might impact ethical issues for lawyers. And I spoke on a couple subtopics, which I think are somewhat interesting. And so the hypothetical was posed, what happens when, for example, somebody is on Facebook, they update their status saying, oh, I was in a car accident, and the next thing you know, Facebook pushes an ad to them from a law firm saying, hey, please consider, you know, XYZ law firm. Is that okay? Is that ethical? You know, as we know, at least here in the 1970s, starting with a Supreme Court ruling, you know, generalized advertising by lawyers and law firms to the public is okay. But this particular hypothetical is rather focused and targeted, obviously. Now, in the non-legal context, our Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, has basically come out with some principles in the area of behavioral or generalized advertising. And basically, websites should disclose, you know, how they target people, and they should allow choice. They should allow someone to, the ability to opt out. So say, for example, you went to a website, Jonathan, and you purchased something. Let's say you purchased, you know, a book about gardening. You know, you should be informed in the terms of service that, you know, perhaps in the future, you know, advertising is going to start going your way with respect to perceived areas of your interest, maybe on gardening. And you have the ability to, you know, click and say, no, thank you, I don't want that. And there are reasons for that. It can be, you know, some people find it a little bit creepy when advertising gets very personalized. Other people find it in their sweet spot. For example, I actually download audiobooks from a particular website, Jonathan, and there's certain genres of books I like. And then in the future, I'm informed of other related books, and personally, I like that. But let's just say I went to a site and I bought something about gardening for Mother's Day for my mother, and then I kept getting pushed information about gardening. I might not like it. So anyway, in the non-legal context, the FTC has these principles about, you know, open disclosure and choice. You know, in the legal context, and I'm not focusing now specifically on targeted advertising, you know, our ethical rules say a legal solicitation cannot contain, you know, untrue statements, cannot confuse or be deceptive, and cannot intrude. So getting back to our hypothetical where the person says, I've been in an accident, and then they push the Facebook ad for a law firm, in a sense, this might be considered deceptive and or intrusive because the recipient really didn't ask for this and doesn't really know why he or she is getting this law firm advertisement. So my feeling, and I said this at the panel, was that this probably is not a good practice unless somehow people can choose this type of offering. And then more practically, some studies have shown that while social media may be good for branding generally, it doesn't necessarily relate to true revenue from actual, you know, advertising in this way. So it might not be practical anyway. And then also, the public views targeted advertising in a somewhat negative light, and studies have shown that too. So it might not, you know, even if there weren't an ethical issue, and there might be, it might not be in a law firm's best interest to push ads in this way. And before I turn it back over to you, the other subtopic I talked about were cloud computing issues. You know, what issues do lawyers have to be concerned about in terms of cloud computing? And we have in this country the American Bar Association 2020 Commission, and that commission has highlighted some concerns about using the cloud. For example, what about unauthorized access to client confidential information? Another concern is the failure in the cloud to properly back up data. How about the storage of information in countries where there's less legal protections for client data? Furthermore, there's the potential for the lawyer's inability to access data if the relationship with the cloud provider ends or changes. There's the issue of clarity or not as to who owns the stored data. Also, what if there's not adequate encryption? And then there's the question of the degree of consent needed from clients before a lawyer can choose to use a cloud provider with respect to client data. And then there's the possibility or the issue of policies dealing with data destruction when the client data is no longer needed for the legal matter. And then finally, there are regulatory issues to consider, like HIPAA in our country, which pertains to sensitive medical information. So those are the two subtopics out of many that I spoke on. Obviously, we only have a Tech Law 10, so we can't make this a Tech Law 60. I won't cover other areas, but I throw it back to you, Jonathan, to see what your thoughts are on this from the UK perspective.
Yeah, I think probably there's quite a bit of commonality across the pond here. I mean, to take your first topic first, as far as advertising is concerned, then I think that there's almost a triumvirate of regulators who are interested in this space. First of all, we have the Advertising Standards Authority, who are getting much more interested in social media advertising, for example, so promoting ambulance chasing, for want of a better word, using social media. We have the Office of Fair Trading, roughly equivalent to the FTC as you've described, and also the lawyers' regulatory authorities have a role here as well. Now, a lot of ambulance chasing is done by claims management companies, but they're regulated as well, and the authorities have shut down a number of claims management firms recently for the way in which they have solicited their clients, for want of a better word. I think from memory, most of those have involved SMS messages rather than social media per se, but it's undoubtedly the case that the legal profession rightly is more heavily regulated. We have, it's only been maybe about 25 years that legal advertising has been permitted, and we've gone a long journey, I think, from those days. I mean, generally speaking, legal advertising has to be tasteful and not something that would bring the profession into disrepute. And maybe 20 years ago, when I qualified, I can remember there was a cause celeb where there was a debate, I think, over a firm of solicitors sponsoring a fashion show, whether that in itself should be permitted, given that lingerie and swimwear were being modeled, and whether, if you like, the legal profession should at all be associated with, with briefs of the wrong sort. I think as far as cloud computing is concerned, then again, we've got similar issues to you. Some of the legal regulators have pronounced. Obviously, our data protection laws are much more severe than in the US, and we've a number of opinions, for example, from one of the German regulators that's pretty much anti-cloud. And in addition to the issues that you've looked at, of course, privilege is a big issue here. We discussed that last week to some extent. But the privilege laws across Europe are very granular, and they will, you know, it'll depend on whether the lawyer is in-house or and how they're qualified and whether they're recognized by certain bar associations in different countries. And it'll also depend on who privilege is sought from, so which particular regulators involved. My worry would be that if documentation is put into the cloud, particularly a public cloud rather than a private cloud, then that could then privilege could be lost, because the definition of processing, for example, under European privacy regulation is quite wide and would include things like hosting. So if you're outsourcing the hosting of your email, for example, to a cloud provider, would that mean that processing is taking place in different jurisdictions where privilege laws may not be the same? Would that mean the privilege is waived over that documentation because a third party theoretically has access? So I think these are very interesting issues. I think encryption particularly, I know that some of our clients have done studies on encryption in the legal profession as well, and that is not as high as it should be. So I think these are definitely issues worthy of an hour's roundtable, and maybe on the LinkedIn discussion group, people will have other ideas, and maybe we can even point to that longer round table that you and the judge and these people from the recorder had on the site, Eric. I don't know whether that's possible.
I'd have to check on that. But, yeah, actually our round table was about 2 hours. Well, thank
right.
you for those. Yeah. Well, thank you for those interesting comments, Jonathan. This is a topic that will continue to evolve. This has been your weekly Tech Law 10. As always, keep your ideas and comments coming. I'm Eric Sinrod, a partner in the San Francisco office of Duane Morris. As you know, we can be found on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. My email address is ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. Jonathan?
I'm JP Armstrong at duanemorris.com. Can I just say one more thing, Eric? I'm in Toronto next week at the Canadian Institute event there. If you're there, don't be shy. Come up and say hello and tell us what you do or do not like about Tech Law 10. We know there's quite a few people listen in Canada. That was all I planned to say. Unless you have anything else, I think we just say thanks for listening, don't we, Eric?
I think the only thing other to say is by the time people listen to this, hopefully the San Francisco 49ers will have already won the Super Bowl. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing correctly. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, all. Bye now.